Well, we live in Texas, so of course we know about scary wind and foundation-shaking storms. Ask anyone who's lived through a tornado, and far too many of us have, and they'll tell you about green clouds and wind blowing like a train, howling like a train, and unpredictable, seemingly random destruction. Here in Texas, the 24/7 weather cycle tracks and tries to predict the course of storms as we are kept informed. We have great respect for the wind. We know better than to downplay the power of a storm. So today I'd like to invite you to consider Pentecost with the same kind of awe and respect. Like Christmas and Easter, we tell the story of Pentecost every year. It's good to share again and again the story of our faith, and it's challenging. We tell it every year until it becomes normal. Familiarity tends to domesticate Scripture's most unruly, norm-busting stories: incarnation, resurrection, and the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon all flesh find themselves toned down into quiet images of a baby in a manger, of a bunny with a basket, and a burning breeze that blew somewhere long ago in a distant place. So, will you come with me this morning as we look, as if for the first time, at the incredible power of Pentecost? Let's see what we can learn as we open ourselves to the way of the Spirit. Okay, so imagine with me the day the Spirit fell upon the disciples. Scared and scattered, they gather together on the day of Pentecost to worship and support each other. They are a religious minority and probably keeping a low profile. So here they are, still a little off kilter after dealing with Jesus' gruesome death, his amazing resurrection, and now waiting and wondering what's ahead for them. Okay, it's a big day. It's the Jewish Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, and people from every nation under heaven are in Jerusalem to celebrate. Falling 50 days after Passover, it's a festival of thanksgiving for the grain harvest, as well as a celebration of God's covenant handed down at Mount Sinai. So all of a sudden, the house shakes with the sound of a mighty wind. Flames descend upon them, and tongues like fire rest upon their heads. The Holy Spirit fills each of them, and they begin to speak in other languages. Everyone hears and understands as they tell of God's awesome deeds of power. Now, let's be clear, as we've heard earlier in the service, they are not speaking a spiritual language of tongues that only a few understand. The disciples are understood. These Galilean fishermen speak in the languages of the world, sharing the good news of God's love in the native languages of all the people gathered in the city of Jerusalem. Imagine the sounds of wind howling, fire crackling, voices broadcasting in every language. Picture the light and color and movement as fabric flaps in the wind, their clothes are stirring all around, and the flames dance. And the arms of the disciples emphatically making their points as they gesture something, and we're not really told what, about the good news of God's power and love. The story startles with this scene of energy verging on chaos. It's surely more than we can take in. Those gathered outside couldn't help but notice the wind and the flames and the enthusiastic chatter. They are amazed, we're told, and perplexed, quite literally blown away. And still, some discount this indescribable scene by claiming they're drunk. Peter rises to preach and interprets what has happened as a fulfillment of Jesus' promise that the disciples would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. He turns to his faith tradition and quotes the prophet Joel. God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The Spirit knows no limits. Everyone, young and old, men and women, everyone is included in the Spirit's power. Whew. Pentecost. Just another day at the church, right? It's a wild and wonderful story of the Holy Spirit filling Jesus' followers and fulfilling the work of his church. The Christian Pentecost celebrates the way of the Spirit and the powerful movement that swept across the world. Can you begin to imagine how frightening and awesome this wild interruption would have been? I'm picturing the disciples. They're together trying to do the work of the church, and this crazy wind blows in and catches their heads on fire. How can they get any work done with God's Spirit blowing in and disturbing them? They're praying, hearing the nominating committee report on the replacement for Judas. Maybe they're concerned about the finance report. You know, it's just not as good as when Jesus was around. They're making plans, reviewing goals and objectives. It's not a good time for an interruption. But the Spirit, like the wind, blows when and where it wills, not where we timidly suggest or dogmatically demand. We had a surprising interruption here at the church Thursday. A powerful Texas storm, as you know, blew through Wednesday night, and because of a downed pole, the church was without power from around 2 a.m. Thursday morning to around 4:15 Thursday afternoon. Actually, I know the exact time, but who's counting? It was, as you know, a very inconvenient 14-hour interruption. No lights, no email server, no air conditioning, no phone, no way we could carry on as we usually do. But we made some adjustments. We worked together and carried on as best we could. We actually talked to each other face to face rather than relying on email. We gathered up some candles and kind of carried around the flame of God's Spirit. In the dark, we walked together, accompanying each other, especially at the stairs and in the really dark hallways. Those of us with windows were able to work a little, but the interior offices were just too dark. We had candles and flashlights and cell phones illuminating the way, and at one point, in the unusually dark and quietly mysterious building, I stopped to listen to the music coming up from the choir room as Colin practiced the piano. It was not what we planned, and it was the second time this week an interruption in power changed our plans. Maybe you were here at church Tuesday for the elders' meeting when the lights went out just as we were about to begin, and the elders gathered anyway to share the prayers and the work of the church in the dark, echoing, as Elder Ann Sanders suggested, the first Christians gathering in the dark in the catacombs. And some of us couldn't help but notice the full and in some places double rainbow that arced across the Fort Worth sky after the storm that Tuesday evening. The way of the Spirit is not only presence and power, but promise. The call to worship this morning was striking as we heard the voices of diverse and beautiful languages, and then to see sign language as today's scripture was read. Thank you to to those who shared from your native or learned language, to our dancers and musicians, thank you for helping open us to the way of the Spirit, the way of rich diversity and inclusive compassion that inspires and empowers the church. Admittedly, we Christians have a hard time with the Holy Spirit. It's difficult to understand and perhaps a little confusing. Here in Acts, we see the way of the Spirit as the sudden and surprising, uncontainable and awesome power that shakes up things, interrupts our plans, and sends us reeling into new and uncharted lands. We also know of the Spirit appearing as a dove at Jesus' baptism, announcing pleasure with God's beloved. In his last days, Jesus promised an advocate, a comforter, an envoy of peace to abide with us always. In John's gospel, the resurrected Jesus breathes on the disciples. Do you know the movie Chocolat? What could be wrong with a movie named after chocolate? It's one of my favorites, and it's a beautiful and intriguing depiction of the way of the Spirit. The wind and the color red play important roles. Set in the winter of 1959 in a tranquil French village, the main character, Vian, comes to town in a red cloak that we see gracefully blowing after her in the wind. And soon, Vian, along with her young daughter, sets up her chocolateria. I don't know how to say it in French. Where's Ellen when you need her? It's interesting to see what the Spirit, with the help of some chocolate, can do to reanimate a village that adheres just a little too closely to tradition. We watch as fractured families begin the hard work of reconciliation and hope returns. The village learns acceptance and grace. The way of the Spirit brings confidence to a young priest who finally finds his voice. Even fear-filled lives learn to risk living again. At one point in the movie, the wind blows open the doors of the church. And on this Pentecost Sunday, I don't think I have to tell you what that means. The village mayor, though, bolts the church doors closed against the wind. For all his devotion, he cannot accept the work of the Spirit because he craves above all order and tranquility and the way we've always done it. The Spirit and chocolate breathe new life into the community, even into the mayor. In the end, he too begins to come around, enjoying chocolate and the beauty and blessings of life. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is at work here and now. Through scripture and prayers, through music and proclamation, through experience and relationship, God's holy breath challenges us, comforts us, scares us, clarifies things for us. The story of Pentecost tells us if we are open to breathing it in, if we dare pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we will find our own lungs filled to the gills with a courage, a reserve of strength, a passion of faith we didn't even know we had. The way of the Spirit is beyond our understanding and yet so very near, so present. Take a deep breath and breathe in the breath of life. The way of the Spirit is the way of life in all its fullness. So, do we mean it when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit"? It's on the front of our bulletin, after all, and hanging above us. Or is it just something we say every year 50 days after Easter? We are wearing red and stirring up the air, stirring up the air with our fans as we celebrate Pentecost. If only we could download an app, a spirit app. Would somebody work on that? A spirit app to track the constant and compassionate work of the Spirit in our lives and in our church. It's Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone gathered and the church is transformed. Do we really mean it when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit"? I know you've heard it said, "Be careful what you wish for." Are we ready to take on the way of the Spirit, for God to shake things up, disrupt our predictable lives, and blow us into the unknown and scary future God calls us to? Are we so enthusiastic in our desire to speak of Jesus Christ that tongues of flames dance over our heads and the neighbors wonder if we might not be drunk? Will we slow down and attend to Christ's own breath breathing through us? Are we ready to inhale God's very breath that gives us life and abides with us always? Come, Holy Spirit.